Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground, right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're every Wednesday at 6 p.m. at liveparanormal.com, hauntedplayground.com, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium, an interfaith minister, and a 26-year talk radio host, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. It's so great to be here, Haunted Playground. I've been doing it since 2010. I brought it this year to the Live Paranormal Radio Network, and every week I gather folks that I think are the brightest and most tuned in and enlightened and lovely people in the paranormal and spiritual communities. And I let you get to know a little bit about them, see a little bit of their heart, see a little bit of their soul. And that's what we do here on Haunted Playground. So I hope you'll join us every week. This week is the first time, because this year I moved it over, so we're still in the new shows here at Live Paranormal, that I've had a brand new guest to any of my shows here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network, and I could not be more happy to have this brilliant light worker on today. She's a renowned medium, an author, a speaker, and she gets the seal of approval from both of my tough Irish best friends, and probably that's why she's here more than anything. Please welcome to Haunted Playground, for the very first time, the wonderful Hollister Rand. How are you, my friend? It's so wonderful to have you here.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you to your Irish friends. You know, my mother is Irish, so I'm half Irish. I got to tell you, we got to stick together. Yes.
My mama used to always say that every Irishman had one foot in the fairy garden, and I think no matter how much Irish you have, right, no matter how much Irish you have that mysticism about you. That's why I'm never surprised when some of my favorite light workers turn out to be in part or all Irish. And both my best friends, coincidentally, also Irish, both very tough chicks, both kind of had their first real experience with a light worker with you.
It wow.
I was at my friend Kelly's house. And we were talking, and she brought up that she and a friend had just gone to see you and that I shouldn't get in touch with you because she thought you were great. And then in passing, I mentioned it to my best friend from high school, like my sister, and she said, oh, my God, haven't I ever told you? She was the first medium that I ever saw and really kind of helped me to be no longer a skeptic and really a believer. So, of course, that's why I stalked you a little bit to get you here because the people that mean the most to me say the most about you. And to me, that's, you know, I think those are the recommendations I trust the most. That's how I book most of my guests. Somebody that I love says, hey, you should book this person. And then I do because of the recommendation. And I think that good people know good people, right?
Well, that's actually how most of my work is done. People send their people to me. And I have, of course, I've been doing this work for so long now, just talking about, oh yeah, she was the first one. Yeah. So we're talking 25 plus years, both of us, right? So,
right.
You know, you stay around long enough. And I am now seeing the sons and daughters and grandchildren of my original clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is really quite something.
I kind of love that. I have whole families that I see, and sometimes they're tight families, and sometimes they're estranged families, but they're still turning each other on to me, and you sort of feel a little bit like Rasputin, right? Like you're sort of the family person that guides, and I love that, and I think that, and also as a minister, for me, that work is so important because the healthier somebody gets in a family or in a friend group, right, or in a couple, the healthier the other person is hopefully going to get because healing inspires healing, right?
Well, in the work that I do, I work at the frequency of divine love. And what that means is only the spirits who can communicate at that frequency can work with me.
So
if someone has had a difficult relationship with someone here on the earth plane, if that spirit is able to speak with me, there's been a change of heart. And what I've discovered is as we do our work here to heal on this earth plane, we heal our entire family line, you know, in the past and in the future.
Sure.
So this is why our incarnation is so important. And like you, I really love working with families because that is, frankly, where we work out our stuff. That's where the healing happens. It happens one-on-one. It happens in the pain and the joy of family.
Yes, I agree. And family doesn't even need to mean blood family, right? It can mean chosen family. It can mean spiritual family. It's whomever you consider
Absolutely.
Your people.
Absolutely. Yeah, your folk. And what's really intriguing, I'm not a past life regressionist in any way, but sometimes I will see people in my groups and there will be brackets over their heads in spirit. You know, I'll just see like this link that the two of them have. And almost always they recognize that they had been related in former lives where they feel like
Absolutely.
Sisters, even though they're not currently. So these links, these recognition of the links that we have. So, you know, the families, the adopted families, the chosen families, and speaking of adoption, you know, I deal with that in my new book as well. But this idea of getting the DNA that is required for the soul's growth, as well as the nurturing that is required for the soul's group. So those who are adopted in that sense, you know, really are dealing with the nature-nurture issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that the past life, realizing you have a bond with somebody and you're what I like to call soul family, right? So when we're home, when we're not here, when we're at home, that's our family. When we come here in soul school to sort of play out each incarnation, we recognize each other. The same way that if you were playing a role in a play and you were playing opposite your real-life partner, part of you would recognize that was your real-life person, even though the characters might play characters that were adversarial or hated each other or didn't know each other. It's the same kind of thing, I think, that recognition. And I love it, and I try to help with my clients a lot talking about it because I think it makes you feel more connected. I mean, if there's one thing I'm hoping I'm doing in my work, Hollister, and I'm sure you feel the same way, it's making people feel more connected because so many people, they just are untethered, right? They don't know where they belong. And for various reasons, right? Childhood stuff, grief, I mean, all kinds of things. They just don't feel like they're locked in. And I think knowing that there are souls that have your back from life to life, I think that helps with the connection, don't you?
Well, what I would say is we are in a moment of tremendous change here on the earth plane.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, in recent memory, I can't, you know, there isn't anything that comes to mind where this many people have left the planet in this short a period of time and work
yes.
has changed, home life, everything is in flux. And so this is all new and this is exciting and spirit can guide us. You know, I was talking with my dad, and he said, well, you know, your Uncle Emil died in the 1918 flu pandemic. I said, my what, who? I said, I have never heard of Uncle Emil. What are you talking about? And I had been feeling a man with me, you know, helping me move through the pandemic. I had felt a presence years before, as I was writing my most recent book, when angels were saying, you know, I was seeing more and more angels. And I wrote in my book, this could be due to a threat to life on our planet. I wrote that the book was released in May of last year in the middle of the pandemic. And so when I was reading that book aloud, I was shocked. I didn't even remember writing that. And yet here was this man around me sort of escorting me. I didn't know who he was. Turns out my Uncle Emil, who I never knew, was married for 2 years and died in a flu pandemic. And then I started seeing other people's ancestors showing up, people who had lived and sometimes died during that time. Millions and millions of people died. So our ancestors, those who have gone before, know how to do this. They know about disruption of culture. They know about these abrupt changes, and they are here to help.
Absolutely, and isn't that wonderful? Yeah, when you, before you started, I mean, you've been a medium your whole life, and I'm sure that's true, and I'll have you tell me about that, but before you started working as a medium and actually sort of, like I like to say, coming out of the closet and telling people what you did, who you were and what you did, were you amazed at how much people need to contact their deceased loved ones? Because it's a lot, and it just seems like everybody almost has somebody they need to contact that they feel like there hasn't been the proper closure with.
Well, of course, we're absolutely seeing that in the last 18 months because there hasn't been, I think closure
sure.
is an overused word, but
okay.
in this sense, we haven't been able to use any of the rituals that we're used to. The idea of being by a bedside or having a funeral or, you know,
sure.
sharing casseroles or whatever. So we've kind of lost the ability to take the steps to deal with death. And often we think of that as closure. But what I would say is the spirits look at things very, very differently. You know, the first question in my new book, Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, But We're Afraid to Ask, the first question
awesome.
Is there really an afterlife? That's the number one question in the book. And it was asked at an event where I thought everybody had solved that question for themselves. It was like a metaphysical workshop thing, you know, like a retreat.
Sure,
I thought,
absolutely,
boy, if you're here, you know, it's kind of like you would think that, you know, you're in a workshop with a medium. Haven't you figured out that there is an afterlife? Well, I couldn't, because when I'm asked a question, I'm never flippant with an answer. I always pause to see how spirits want to communicate and how they want me to answer that question. So I looked out in the audience and I saw all these people's loved ones standing next to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
need, the desire to have that communication with loved ones. And Spirit said all together, there is no afterlife. There is only life.
Yeah.
It was so powerful because we here are thinking we've lost them. They're dead.
Right.
They've died. There's some sort of great difference in how, like, they're far from us. They're separated. So we as mediums are connectors, basically. You know, we kind of stand in the middle and say, okay, here's your hand. Put your hand in their hand, and now you're together. And I would say the next bit of my work is teaching people how to do this more and more themselves, how to get connected and stay connected, because that's the next wave.
I completely agree. And I think oftentimes when we communicate with spirits, right, or with spirit in general, the message is often, you know, teach them to do it because I'm here and I want to talk to you and I'm trying to talk to you. But for whatever reason, you and the three-dimensional plane are blocking me out. People say, how come my father hasn't come back to visit me? I say, well, he's right here. And he's kind of laughing because he tries all the time. But you're not listening, or you're convincing yourself it's your voice in your head, or it can't be him, or for whatever reason, you're not gifted enough to do it. Then I think you're absolutely right. Spirits want to talk to their people, but their people have to turn their radios on, right?
Well, yes. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I really love to teach and why my latest book is full of exercises and meditations and what to, you know, how you can experience your own loved ones. And really, the biggest block to spirit communication is expectation. We have an expectation as to how spirits will show up for us. And releasing that, just having anticipation that they are already trying, saying thank you for trying rather than please come to me. Thank you is much more effective when we're talking about spirit communication. Gratitude is a huge benefit and a huge energy boost to connecting with the spirits.
Yes, absolutely. And I think to everything, right? I mean, everything from a spiritual perspective, gratitude is the key of it all. It's, I think it's the key to to happiness. I think it's the key to self-awareness. I think it's when you're trying to get rid of some of the gunk from your life that you're trying to let go of, having gratitude for where you are right now is sort of the first step for that, certainly for communicating with loved ones, right? It kind of all starts with gratitude.
Absolutely, because gratitude is the acknowledgement that you are supported outside of yourself. When I expressed gratitude during the pandemic for toilet paper, for instance, and you know, Lysol and Clorox wipes, I'm acknowledging that there is a whole, you know, group of people who are making that happen for me. Do you know what I'm saying? That the very
Absolutely.
Things that I use, I don't create in a vacuum. And the opposite of gratitude, grievance, it shouldn't happen this way. This shouldn't be
right.
the job that I have. I shouldn't be stuck in this. Pandemic, what? You know, he shouldn't have died. It shouldn't have happened. Grievance separates us. So gratitude connects us with all, and grievance separates us. And so one of the biggest blocks to communication is also grievance. He shouldn't have died that way. How could he have killed himself? He should have spoken to me. I could have saved him. So the grievance that people bring to the death experience can cause a block to connecting with their loved ones.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. For you, what was the catalyst for you to finally decide
you know,
that you wanted to do this work?
Well, this is what's really
there.
Funny.
What
you said,
catalyst,
what is the catalyst? Well, people always say that I'm the catalyst, that I show up and things happen. So it was just funny
right.
you used that word. I'm like, yeah, people say Hollister Rand's the catalyst. She shows up and things
Fantastic.
Happen. And, you know, there really is some truth to that. Well, I was always interested in spirits because, of course, I saw spirits when I was a kid.
Of
when
course,
I was
yes.
young, my family told me my grandfather was dead, and I couldn't understand that. How could he – what does dead mean when he's kissing me on my forehead every night in my bedroom before I go to sleep? So what is dead? You know, and then a dear family friend started reading me a book about a young boy whose kitten died. So they were trying to explain to me, you know, and nothing made sense. I was kind of like the RCA Victor dog. People of a certain age will remember that. It was kind of like the dog goes, huh? And tilts his head. That's kind of how I lived the first half of my life. Huh? You know, not understanding what people were saying to me. And I studied everything metaphysical I could. And I read everything by Hans Holzer. I was fascinated by things that were haunted. So I went through the whole haunted thing. Well, then when I was in a car accident and almost died, that threw me into a place where I had to sort of relearn how to live life. And I moved into the charismatic Christian church. And with music and with meditation and with singing, all of a sudden, all of my gifts opened up. I then moved out to California, found my tribe, other mediums. It was so exciting. A number of them English, which was also exciting. And then there we go. And that's what happened.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? So I, too, a car accident is, too, what sort of opened up my gifts for me. I always say that I hit the wall with the car one person, and I walked
right.
away from that car another person.
That's exactly right.
You get close enough to home. Right? You go home for a hot minute when you're traumatized like that, I believe. And you
yes.
sort of see what it's all about. And then you come back here and you can't unsee it. And
yes.
hopefully
and
you follow the messages that you're getting.
But what the good news is now with is, because that used to be the story of mediums. It was almost always
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost always trauma mediumship. Trauma mediumship, you know, I mean,
right.
no, really, if you start like people
yes.
our age and older, if you start
yes.
listening to their stories, I was hit by a car. I had a car accident. I almost drowned. You know, I
uh-huh.
mean, it's ridiculous. It's like you have to shake hands with death in order to be a medium. Well, the good news is now that's not happening because children are no longer forced to shut down anymore.
Yes.
The reason
yes.
that it takes a trauma to open that up is because many of us were locked down for a whole lot of reasons. You know, this was of the devil, or this was not accepted, or you don't talk about ghosts in polite company, or a whole bunch
right.
of other stuff. And that just isn't the culture anymore. The Pew Research, there's a Pew Research study that's just been released. 25% of people are unaffiliated with a religion. And even those who are involved with religion are moving into mystical elements of it, like the Kabbalah, for instance, or things like that. So every religion has a mystical side. All of that is becoming activated. And you know what the best thing is? Nobody has to be traumatized in order to be connected
right.
to spirit anymore, because there's no longer that clamping down that's been happening in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my mother was a psychic medium. But I think I always thought those were her gifts. Those weren't going to be my gifts. And my thing was something different. It just never occurred to me that I would get her gifts until that accident. And,
well,
you know, so, and even then I was like, oh, well, that's, I just am seeing weird things and talking to weird dead people because I was in an accident. Like, I still was
right.
not admitting what was happening.
Right. Well, first of all, kids always want to be different from their parents. Number one.
It's true.
And
yes.
number two, I think we always look at somebody else as, oh, that's their thing, not ours. And what spirit has been showing me is this is all us. We're all wired
yes.
for sound. We're all
yes.
communicate with spirits. And there are, you know, as with any other talent, there are some who are born with a greater talent. But there are also those who are born with a certain level of talent and choose to develop it. So
yes.
that's the good news. Wherever you are, spirit will use you. And this is what I say to students in my classes. You know what? Don't worry about being good. Worry about being in service. Because spirit will use who is willing, not always who is the best. And that is really it. If you are willing to be connected with spirit, they're willing to, and that's really it. Everybody just has to say, come on, it's a party. Let's have a good time.
I agree, and I love that you use the word service. That is one of my favorite words, and I think that every person on the earth has a service. And another key, I think, to happiness in your own life on this earthly plane is finding your service. And everybody, look, it doesn't mean, I think some people think service means, you know, you've got to give up all your worldly possessions and wrap a toga around you and put some sandals on and live penniless your whole life in service. It's not, you can have a fantastic life. You can have everything you've ever wanted from your life. But you know, as you connect the spirit, that you are a person of service and you are doing whatever it is your service is. And I think if everybody awakened to their service, and I think Hollister now, the way the world has changed in the last 20, 10, 5, and now amazingly with this pandemic, people are really beginning to step into what their service is. And I think we're going to feel the spiritual difference is going to be palatable when we feel what it's like when more and more people are becoming connected.
Well, and this is a challenge, I think, for people who have come to see me over the years. You know, Hollister Rand, what is my purpose? Can you tell me what my purpose is? And so I've come to see purpose as the thing that separates us from others. Service is the thing, you know, purpose is what makes me different. What is my special
right.
thing that I bring?
Exactly.
Right? That's what
right.
people want to know. What's my purpose? What makes me special? Service just says show up, and that is what ends up often being purpose. So that's what I always say to people. Look, you know, I'm not here to tell you what your purpose is, but I am here to suggest that you can live in service. Look around. Where can you be of service? That will lead you to what your purpose is.
Absolutely. And I think it's wonderful when people find their service, because then they realize how uniquely special they are and how spirit has a purpose and a service for each one of us that is uniquely ours. Because I think a lot of people worry about, well, what makes me special, or why am I even here, or would anybody, including God, care if I just was no longer here, and am I just treading water? Is there any reason for me to be here? When you know what your service is, and like you said, and then you find your purpose because of it, you realize how important it is that you're here. And I think as humans,
yes,
all of the ways that we lean towards money and fame and celebrity, all of that stuff makes us feel like, well, those people are important, but am I important? Why am I here? And the nice thing about service is you realize that those people just have a different purpose and a different service, but yours is every bit as important.
When I teach mediumship, I am not in the business of creating Hollister Rand clones. I am in the business of helping each person who studies and works with me to find how their abilities can best be used and how they can fit into their lives. Sometimes people will come to a workshop because they've lost someone that they love and they want to communicate with their own loved ones. And what is so interesting is at the end of a workshop, they all of a sudden realize, I can connect this person with his or her loved one. Wow, this is bigger than I even thought. So all of a sudden, we think we're helping ourselves, and it turns out that we help ourselves most by helping others. So people who have studied with me, some may never speak in public, you know, may never stand up and do, you know, mass demonstrations or teach workshops or be on television or radio. They may not do that, but they may work in hospice instead. Or they may become a pastor. There are many, many, many roads. And I've seen so many people come through my workshops, and it's exciting to see them find their service because they might not know what it is before they show up.
Absolutely. I think that's so important. And I think that is probably the most important thing about what you do and probably the most important thing about what I do is helping people to find who they are and where they belong so they can help others to do the same.
And
I
let go
story.
Of the stuff that no longer serves them.
Right.
That is really, really important. I had a session earlier today with a lovely, lovely woman, and it was over the phone. I couldn't see her, had no idea what she looked like, how old she was, or anything like that. But her family showed up, and they came in like a block of granite, and they showed her as Michelangelo chipping away at them so that they could each be free of the afflictions that they had, two alcoholics and a drug addicted brother. And
wow.
She, through her work on this planet, was able to release her whole family. It was such a beautiful image. And it just is so powerful when you see how what we do here affects them there and how then they show up for us here as we're moving through. Because now this is her time to let go of the idea of, I have to be there for everybody else. I have to take care of everyone else. If I don't make the sun shine or rise in the morning, it won't rise. Everybody else's welfare is my responsibility. She was freed of that. It's really powerful.
And isn't that nice? Yes. And I think that's an important gift for every medium, right? Is that you help free the living of the guilt and the worry and the anxiety over every little detail of what happened with the person that passed. Because the spirits that are no longer embodied don't carry all of that with them as much. Mostly it's the living carrying all those emotions.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is, what we tell ourselves about how people die is a story that is almost never based in reality. And I'll give you an example. I had a woman the other day speaking with her, I think it was by phone or Zoom or, you know, one of those things. And her mother had died with congestive heart failure, looked like she couldn't breathe. She was struggling, screaming in the end. You know, the daughter had this vision of her mother having a torturous end. And there was nothing that she could do. And what her mother, after describing this horrific scene, said, I was standing next to you watching my body do that. I listened to you say, Mom, it's okay, you can go. She said, I was already gone. I've had, young people who have died in car accidents. One young man said, when my car hit the tree, I flew out of my body. He never felt any pain upon impact.
Right.
So what we tell ourselves about the pain, the discomfort, the terror around how people have died. One mother said, I flew on the wings of angels. No matter what we tell ourselves about how someone has died, it's almost always not the right story, or it's not the accurate story, I should say. And so one of the things I do as a medium is I allow the spirits to set the record straight, to tell their side of the story, which is almost always different from what we tell ourselves.
Absolutely. And I don't know why anybody would think that SAR now could in any way be worse than when they were in a body that was in pain. But for some reason, I think as people, because people focus, Hollister, right, sometimes on suffering, their own suffering, everybody else's suffering. How much will I suffer when I die? What if I get sick and suffer? What if somebody breaks up with me and I suffer? What if someone dies and I suffer? That they assume that spirits are somewhere like Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol, right, dragging chains and moaning. And they understand that the release from the body is the release from all of that worldly stuff. And when I had my near-death experience, I mean, I went home for like a hot minute and a half. But the first thing I remember thinking was that I had no idea how much pain people were in. Not just the physical pain of being in a meat suit, right, which is a lot more than being disembodied, but also the emotional pain that we carry around all the time. And as human beings, we don't even know we're carrying it around. And I was 23 at the time, so it wasn't like I wandered around a lot contemplating my pain. But the first thing I thought was, wow, the visceral difference of when it was gone. And then popping back in my body and being like, whoa, and now it's back. So we don't understand what it's like to be free.
Well, yes. And, you know, one of the things I used to love when I was growing up were rides at amusement parks, that feeling of weightlessness, you know, that sense of going up and then everything dropping, but there you are hanging in the air at the moment. And at that moment, there's freedom. There's nothing holding you back. And then comes the terror of gravity. You know, it's like, boom, you know, and then you're back and you're slammed in your seat. You're slammed. You know, that's kind of the spirit body thing. You know, it's like, ooh, isn't this great? And then, bam, you're in your body. And that happens to us often, you know, at night and then in the morning. So there are some of us who have to be reminded that we are back in our bodies in the morning because there are a lot of people who aren't sure they really want to be here. So one of the exercises I do with people who really are wondering why they are here and maybe don't feel effective or think that because they've lost someone, they have to go where they are. And what I say to people is don't try to find your loved one. Don't leave your own body trying to find them. Remember, your body's your address. It's where you are located. Let them find you. You know, you don't want them like knocking on your door and you're not home because you're out looking for them, you know. So let's be in our bodies while we have bodies. Let's be present. So I do a lot of grounding exercises. Even when I wake up in the morning, I will lie there and feel myself fill my body all the way to my toes, all the way out to the ends of my fingers. I wiggle my fingers, I wiggle my toes, and I put my feet on the ground, and I say, I am here, and I am of service, and I set my intention for the day. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we are here.
Yes, and that we're grateful. Again, that's a time for gratefulness, right? But thank you for another day, Spirit, that I may continue to serve people and enjoy my life. And I think that's the thing that sometimes people forget with those of us that do light work is that we aren't only in service all the time and helping others to find their way, but we also are having a human life at the same time, and we're trying to figure it out too, because if we were perfect, we wouldn't be back. So we have stuff that we're working on at the same time.
yeah, I wouldn't be a divorced woman if everything were perfect. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I wouldn't have been fired from a job, let's say, you know. But these right. are all of these things are kind of course corrections. And so that's how I've come to look at things in my life. Okay, so this got me to this point. What often yes. looks most difficult is just something catapulting me in the next direction. So that's what I would say is working as a medium and working with people to expand their consciousness is very important, because when you expand your consciousness and you are working with guides and you're working with angels and you're working with loved ones in spirit, your perspective changes. When I've spoken with people who've passed with suicide, they will often show me this kind of narrowing of vision. Like the end of a cartoon, that's all, folks, you know, where it kind of like yeah. dials yeah. down so and disappears into like a little black dot. I have had people in spirit say that's how their life looked. That's how their vision was at the end. They could only see one path, one way forward. They needed to be out of here for a lot of different reasons. And when we work with spirit, what happens is our ability to see, we begin to live in possibility, in expanded consciousness. And it's almost like at the end of a movie, that crane shot, instead of the, that's all, folks, it's the crane shot, which lifts up and shows you the whole street, you know, and then the mm-hmm. whole city, and then the whole state, you know. So that is the difference with working with spirit. It's not, that's all, folks. It's that crane shot. So you get to see the bigger picture.
See, and again, I think with that realization that not only there is a continued life beyond this, but the idea that those who have passed can come here and visit and communicate, it just makes, there's a cohesiveness, right, that it brings into your ideology spiritually. So that there's nothing to be afraid of. You're not going to die. You're not going to end. You're not going to be trapped in a place where you can't communicate with your loved ones. There really is no difference. You know, when my mom died, she and I were absolute soulmates and as close as can be. And I didn't know that I would live past her living because I wasn't sure what the point would be. About 45 minutes after she died, I was in her driveway going to her house to pick up all her favorite crystals and take them home. It was a thing I had to do. I don't know why, but I did. And I was walking up the driveway and you know how you, when you're in a line sometimes in a store and you're not paying attention, you'll kind of drift back and the person behind you drifts forward and you kind of bump into each other. We literally passed through each other, scared the heck out of each other and jumped back out. And that was her first, and she was like, I'm great. I'm wonderful. And she was so happy to be dead. I mean, it was,
yes.
you know, I mean, she was a Scorpio and a little cryptic, but I mean, she was so happy to be out of that body and to be at home where she really feels that's her wheelhouse. I mean, I think she is a soul that comes back here because she knows she has to, but where she really wants to always be is working from home. And,
right.
You know, so there was no suffering or, oh my God, or I'm so horrible or, oh, the pain. I mean, there was none of that. It was just like, I'm back. And instead of feeling like the 82-year-old fragile woman that died, she was a powerhouse like she was in the middle of her life when I was a kid. And she felt like that again. So
well, that is
you
why
never have
spirits,
to work.
Well, that is why spirits will often show up, maybe at first as we might have known them, or providing the death condition, because that's a piece of evidence, number one. And often there needs to be something healed around the dying experience with the person who's left behind. But then what will happen is there'll be this transformation. And I was speaking with another woman this morning whose mother showed up. I said, oh my goodness, she is so gorgeous. I mean, she showed me herself as a dancer in her 20s. So not at all like the frail woman who died and couldn't walk at the end of her life. So the spirits will show themselves then as the way they would like to be remembered, often
Absolutely.
At the height of their ability and the height of their strength and the greatest expression of their health and happiness. And also what this points out is that we can exist at any point we choose within our timeline. And we can do that even here on this earth plane. So there are times when I will reset my clock to a point where I was very happy or where there was great possibility in life before there was a disappointment. And I will just go, whoop, that's where we're going. That is how I want to be. That's the energy I want to be at in this moment, as spirit does. So, and there have even been experiments now which show that there was a group of elderly men, and for 2 weeks they only lived with things that had been in existence 20 years before. And their blood work shifted. Their health got better without any other changes. So where we place ourselves with our happiness, our strength, and our energy is very powerful. And the spirits show us that when they show themselves when they were happiest.
I agree 100%. And I think they also do it to make you, they want you to see as the living person, they want you to see their most vibrant self. Because they want you to see the vitality, the love, the happiness, the exuberance. They're not coming to bum you out. They're very
exactly.
much coming to lift you up. I don't
That's
really see
exactly
spirits that
case.
Come to bum people out. Every once
no,
in a while you get a strange one, but it's very rare.
Very rare, especially, you know, working at the frequency of divine love, setting that frequency
right.
and working in that space. It's a very healing space. It's a very light space. So it's also a lot of fun. Spirits can be riotously funny.
Absolutely.
And it's really wonderful to have people laugh. You know, I remember I was doing a large event. There was a woman sitting in the front row. And I said something. I don't know. The spirits inspire me to say sometimes funny things. Everybody laughed. You know, we're all laughing. And I look at this woman, and I see this man standing with her. He gave his name. He gave it, you know, I saw the description. And it was her husband. Afterwards, she came up, she said, I've been to all of these other mediums, and she named them, and I knew them personally, and I knew them to be excellent mediums. She said, and none of them was able to bring me my husband. She said, only you. And I said, it has nothing to do with the talent of the medium. I said, guess when your husband showed up? She said, what do you mean? I said, we were all laughing. We were laughing, and the mood was light, and boom! All of a sudden, he was able to show himself, and you were able to allow him to be there. So the spirits do want to bring joy to our loss and really shift the energy. So laughter is really important.
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. And important that there is levity and, I mean, even fun during a session, right? Because mostly spirits are not worried about them. They're worried about you. They're worried about the living.
Yes.
They don't want you to be sad or grieve for them or stop your life because they are gone. They want you to stay and be happy and enjoy this incarnation until it's your time to go home.
Are very funny. And, you know, sometimes people get upset or worried that they might miss a sign from a loved one. You know, like if they're not vigilant 24/7, they might miss something. And you know what I always say is spirits will annoy you until you get it. You don't have to worry about missing a sign or missing a signal. It's just not going to happen. And there was a guy whose television, he was living with his dad. His mother had died. And the television was going on and off at 2:00 every morning. Like all of a sudden it would be blasting, full blast. And the father was convinced that some neighbor had their remote control and was turning on and off the television. And the son said, Dad, don't you know that's what time mom went to bed every night? 2:00 in the morning, she'd shut the television off and go to bed. It's mom, Dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they were – they were like going crazy and then finally realized, wait a minute, it's mom. So don't worry about missing a hello from your loved one in spirit. They'll keep at it until you're just out and out annoyed with it all.
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. Earlier, at the beginning of the hour, you said something about how because you work on the frequency of divine love, you only spirits that come in through you are spirits that are resonating in that way. Or that aren't. Where do you think they are? I mean, are they in the same place, but they just don't come and communicate with you? Are they somewhere else? How do
First of all, it doesn't seem to be location-based. I just finished I was part of a docuseries called Superpower, which is being released. It's kind of in pre-release right now. People can find all of this information on my website at hollisterrand.com. But the Superpower film has all of these scientific experts, and there's a lot of discussion and experimentation around consciousness. Where is it? How are we connected? And consciousness isn't location-based. So it isn't that they are in they're not in a lockbox on the other side or something like that. But there are frequencies. There are vibrations. There are ways that birds of a feather flock together in the afterlife as much as here. So people of like vibration, like frequency, will be able to vibrate at a certain rate. And what's interesting is when the rates get slower, you start to see different spirits. And so when I would do haunted houses, there was often it was a very dense energy, and you could kind of hear a sound that was like a woo, woo, woo. You know, there's a different feeling, there's a different energy. And so those energies closest to the lower level energies here of the earth plane are where some people who do not have bodies choose to vibrate. But everybody,
absolutely,
everybody has an option to raise their frequency and raise their vibration.
Yes.
Everybody
yes.
does. And that's partly why I think we have this earthly experience, is to begin to get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and let go of more and more and more.
Right. To get ready to become permanently part of the celestial body of the everything.
Yeah.
To get to the point where
everything about life,
you know,
is about letting go. It really
yeah.
is. From the moment we're born to the moment we die, it is all about letting go, and it's all about transformation and change. It just happens slowly enough to us that we can miss it. Spirit's very fast, on the other hand. Sometimes they just give you information so quickly, you know, it's almost too much.
Oh, it's often too much, right? Sometimes you're trying to weed through it to figure out the important parts you're supposed to have. There's an exuberance to spirit, right? When they start giving you something, they're excited, and it's coming
yes.
to a mile a minute.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to catch as much as you can. And sometimes somebody will ask me a question in a session and then, like, say, well, why aren't you answering right away? I'm like, well, because spirit is throwing me so much right now, I'm trying to figure out what to pick out and tell you first. Because a lot
yeah,
comes.
Yes, a lot will come. So what I have done over the years is really work with spirit so that the most important things are shown up first. Like here on the earth plane, we don't feel, see, and hear everything. It would overwhelm us. We just don't. We have filters. And there are some people who don't have those filters. And there are other people who never forget anything, you know, that kind of thing here on the earth plane. And it's a very difficult existence. Well, working with spirit, when I first started working with spirit, I would see everything, like the buttons on someone's shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like details.
Yes.
And you get so entranced that you don't even know where to start. Well, over the years, spirits spirits who work with me all of the time, my workers in spirit, you know, sort of my go-between, they have shown people how to most effectively work with me. Like, what is the most important thing you need Hollister Rand to know? Let's highlight that. I have had to do that because in the beginning, it was just too overwhelming. And then you might miss the significance of things because I'm like, wow, look at that pie. You know, I remember I was working with another medium. I was working with another medium, and there was a grandmother who was, it was kind of an experiment thing, but there was a grandmother who was showing us her house. And I said, okay, I'll take the outside of the house. You take the inside of the house. So we did that, and we're describing in detail, and the person is acknowledging, yes, this is, I mean, the wallpaper, and both of us ended up at the window with a pie at the window. Well, we both got so entranced with this pie, that was it. That ended the communication. So that's the thing, is you can get caught up so much in something that may intrigue you, and that's not the purpose of spirit communication.
Absolutely. And it's the same thing when you are a living person going to a medium to connect with somebody on the other side. You may want to connect to mom, but grandma may come in and kind of push mom out of the way because grandma's got something to tell you. And even though you will eventually get to connecting with mom, hopefully, you got to kind of listen. Because when a spirit comes through with something, right, oftentimes there's a reason for it, and they have a message you need to hear. And it's good to listen, and sometimes folks can be a little rigid, right? No, I only want to talk to you. It's like, but grandma's got a thing for you right now.
Well, this goes back to that idea of anticipation without expectation. And
yes.
I will say in, you know, during spirit circles where I have very small groups and every person in the group gets a message, I will say, you know, everybody has their bucket list. They come to these events with, you know, their top person, maybe a couple
right.
of people, maybe three, but that's what they've got. Well, you know what? It's like the Rolling Stones song. You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Yes.
You know, it mm-hmm. really, really is. And rarely do spirits disappoint us, but
no.
they may
yes.
move in someone first to test the waters, to see how we're doing, to, you know, get the lay the land for the following message. Yeah, the spirits are much smarter than we are as far as knowing what we need.
Absolutely. Okay, so here's something I always like to ask people because this is one of my favorite topics. Why is it possible, and it is possible, soul has already reincarnated to someone else?
I look at
because
that a little
is.
Bit differently. I look
okay.
at that a little bit differently because I have, and I talk about this more in depth in my most recent book, Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife. So I go into the reincarnation thing. In fact, there's a whole chapter on it. But because I have clients around the world, I talk with people in Asia, in Europe, you know, all different cultural backgrounds, and there are places in the world where reincarnation, immediate reincarnation is expected. So for instance, I had a woman set up a session. She's in India and we're on the phone and I heard aloud in the air, grandfather is here. So I'm thinking this is grandfather's spirit saying grandfather is here. Because I'm a medium sitting in the United States. And she said, yes, grandfather is here. He was born yesterday. And I went, what?
Yeah.
Then who is this? Well, it turns out the one announcing to me that grandfather is here was grandfather's brother, a great uncle. And
okay.
we had a marvelous visit with him, but he let us know that, yes, indeed, grandfather was born. So in places where reincarnation is expected, there is pretty much a revolving door. Here in the United States, it almost seems like there's much more of a group effort. I hear spirits here say, I will wait for you. So it's interesting.
Me
there
too,
seems
a lot.
To be, I will wait for you. So we do not have to worry about missing our loved ones because they've been reincarnated someplace else. It isn't organized like that. The universe is not organized to create near misses. It's not like on, you know, Craigslist, there's the missed connections, you know, thing where you have to go put something on a message board, you know? Oh, he was born over, you know, the other side of the world. You missed him. No, that doesn't happen. It isn't. We live in a universe of connection, not of missed connection. And so that's what I would say about reincarnation. It is not something to be alarmed about.
I agree. Right. Nor do you need to worry that you're going to miss having someone to talk to when you go to see a medium in spirit, that everybody will have reincarnated and everybody has left you and there'll be nobody there when you die to meet you.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Yes, yes, that's why I wrote about that in my book, because this is a worry. This is a worry for people. You know, I've also had people come to me and sit down and say, well, I don't quite know why I'm here. You know, I don't know anyone who's died. And you know, I look at the person and say, well, unless you're the second Immaculate Conception, there are ancestors here, you know? So, but now with the advent of 23andMe and Ancestry.com, people are becoming more aware. And what's happening is in sessions, these ancestors are showing up. You know, the ancestors we never knew. I had a woman call me and I said, there's this woman named Anna and she's wearing these big dresses, like this big, like hoop skirt thing. She said, yes, that's, you know, Anna in the family. That's as far back as I was able to go. It's the 1600s and we can't find out where she was buried. And she gave me a location in Ireland somewhere, and the woman said, yes, this is an Irish heritage. Whether or not she was ever able to find that, I don't know. But the ancestors are showing up in people's readings because they're, as soon as you make an inquiry for an ancestor, you might as well be sending an email to their heavenly inbox. Hello, I'm, you know, I want to connect with you. And they show up.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And who knew that that's what 23andMe and Ancestry.com are going to wind up being? But as soon as you put that manifestation around, boy, I would really like to get to know Anna. Guess what? Anna's like, oh, I'm here.
Well, that's what technology brings to us. Technology is a reflection of what already exists in the spirit world. So when I teach college or I speak at colleges and lecture and things like that, I will say to college students, you already understand what I do because you know how to speak with many people, you know, that you can't even see. You're sending out tweets. You know, you're on TikTok. You're doing all of this stuff. Technology is allowing you to do what I do.
Absolutely. You are wonderful. We are completely out of time, but I want you to give your website and let people know how they can get your book and book a session with you and all that fun stuff.
Well, everything can be found at hollisterrand.com, HollisterRand.com. The book information is there. How to book a session is there. I think even the Superpower docuseries information is there. So, yeah, anything you want to know about Hollister Rand is at hollisterrand.com.
You're amazing. Will you come back and see me again? I would love that.
Of course. I would love it.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend. Everyone, Hollister Rand, she's wonderful. What an honor to have her here. If you missed anything or how to get to her website, I'm at sheenametalspiritual.com. Find me there. We're at hauntedplayground.com, paranormal.com. This is the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Haunted Playground is here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Right here, and of course, Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time, my Raising the Vibration show. Please check both of those out, and I do three video web series on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday night, 9 o'clock Pacific time on Live Paranormal's video channel, which is facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. Until I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity. always raise your vibration and stay spooky, my friends. I'm Sheena Metal. I'll see you next week.